Discussions of Truth coming your way, special edition. This is Wednesday, April 1st. No fooling around this day. RIP to my late friend, David G. Today was his birthday. And much of this program is made available by him and his doing. Coming your way in about 6 minutes, Dr. Yoram Lass. Okay, he's an Israeli physician, former politician who served as a member of the Knesset for the Labor Party between 1992 and 1986. He is a former director slash minister of the Department of Health for Israel, as far as I am aware. Okay, and he'll be bringing some commentary regarding the coronavirus that is and has become a global pandemic that is certainly becoming a very serious threat to those stateside in the United States, as recent figures from the White House show that the possible death toll now standing at about, my understanding, 4,000. And again, I'm not sure if that's globally or just, I think that's globally. I'm not sure what the U.S. count is. But recent figures from the White House say that we're looking at a possible 150,000 to 200,000 death count from this virus coming simply in a few weeks. That's the projection. So we're going to get some medical opinion here from Dr. Lass in regards to how do those figures compare to other coronavirus cases. Okay, the COVID-19 is one strain of the coronavirus. There are various SARS respiratory type illnesses and viruses that are in that classification of coronavirus, to my understanding. Okay, this isn't something that has come out of the blue. And to give you a perspective of where I come from in my approach to the coronavirus, yes, this is obviously a deadly virus. Is it more deadly than other viruses? I don't know. Again, that's why we'll be fortunate to hear from Dr. Lass here. Is it killing more people than the various common strains of the flu that make its way around the globe, you know, on a yearly basis? Again, I don't know. Is this something that is completely media hyped? Is the media taking this and blowing it out of proportion to profitize on it? That's an argument. Is it something driven from a deeper agenda, possibly linked to global military campaigns in regards to taking away some of your civil freedoms? I don't know. That's another good argument to consider. Yes, a dismantling of your democracy. The Stafford Act takes away habeas corpus, takes away civil liberties. That's been intact now for a couple weeks in the United States. States are now closing themselves off. Mandatory self-quarantining, I now understand, in Florida for 30 days. I haven't got that official out of the governor's office, but some of these things are, hey, wait a second. You know, I can't even congregate in groups of 10 larger How do you feel about that? Is that a violation of your right as a human being? If you feel like you are religious and you want to go to a religious congregation and mingle with people, maybe 100 people at a time, should that be your right to go mingle and open yourself up to receiving the coronavirus? Okay. I mean, is it a violation of your right? That's really what we're kind of getting at here. Okay, that j just things to consider, alternative angles and views to consider. So this is like last week, because of demand, because there is a need to talk about these things, we will be broadcasting a triple header today. You can join me at the 4 o'clock hour as I will be discussing and giving commentary myself in regards to what's happening with this coronavirus pandemic. To backtrack and again give you the basis from where I come from, I actually began this program now in its fourth season. Book along the way, Trine Day Publishers releasing Freedom Reserve, No More Lies. That's scheduled to release on the 23rd of April. You can pre-order right now at Barnes and Nobles, Amazon, and various other sites in the UK, Australia, Denmark, Canada, Ian Trottier. But this is all based off of the Zika virus that came ashore in Miami in 2016. And the links and connections that I make and made to the Rockefellers kind of got me talking about this because I felt like, just like you, I have the freedom to speak. Okay. And I feel like some of these other institutions, freedom of media, or some of these other constitutional rights, I think, in the United States, that the war machine uses, as a whole other topic. I hope you understood where I was going, going to with that comment, as I didn't finish it. But let's just say that a democracy, if you will, quote, the United States is a republic with democratic values. But these values are what is used as an excuse many times for that military machine to go in and invade other countries and rob them of natural resources. Okay. That would be the assumed, again, the assumed reason that Bush went into Iraq. Okay. To control opium trade would be the assumed reason that American military exists still today in Afghanistan. What's it been? Almost 20 years. Totally ridiculous. These war machines that are killing people's lives, destroying families. It's just really disgusting as far as I'm concerned. Zika, anyway, in Miami is the basis for the program, as the Rockefellers had hands not only in patenting the Zika virus, this is fact, they also were the largest shareholders of the Chevron Chemical Corporation that engineered the pesticide in the 1950s. Again, Zika being extracted from a rhesus monkey in the Uganda forest in the 1940s. Again, this is funded by the Rockefeller Institute and Foundation, whatever maybe it may have been. But the two connections there led me to Anthony Sutton, Stanford Hoover Fellow, and something called the Hegelian dialectic. All right. So anyway, that gives you a good understanding of how I'm approaching the coronavirus and the pandemic. Again, I'm not saying that you should not worry and guard your health against the coronavirus, as you should any other virus or any other disease or any other ailment that strikes this species. But what I am saying is, as you defend yourself against it, look at some of these other ulterior and alternative angles that could be approached. Is it disgusting to think that, yes, there could be military involvement in regards to biological warfare? Yeah, sure, it could be. But we know one fact. we know that there are ill motives existing on the planet. Okay, and you know, what we strive for is certainly peace and happiness and harmony for everyone, regardless of language, regardless of country, regardless of belief system. That's really the most important thing, is that there is a unification. But a fear tactic used to create unification for a very small percentage of banking organizations is completely the wrong way to go about it. And anyway, that is what we bring to the table in discussions of truth. So, without any further ado, you can follow me on, please do, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, that's INTROTTIER, both handles. Donate to the program, discussionsoftruth.com. You can also donate at iantrache.com. iantrache.com has all of my past guests, and I would say 97% of the episodes, mostly all, there might be a few missing, are all found there at iantrache.com. Again, this is iantrottier.com. Okay, bringing on now Dr. Las, who is in Israel. Give him a ring here, see if this works. If not, bear with me as I type in other coordinates here. Ringing here momentarily. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, Dr. Las. Hello, Ian Trottier. Welcome to Discussions of Truth, sir.
Yes. Okay, I'm ready, but I'm not sure about this. Is this a phone conversation?
Yes.
Is this okay?
Yes, this is fine.
So we just talk over the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us. So, Dr. Las, for listeners out there that may not be familiar with who you are, you're the former minister and director of the Department of Health in Israel. Is that correct?
Well, the official title is Director General of the Israel Ministry of Health.
Thank you. Tell listeners a little bit about what you were required to do in that position. And you're currently lecturing. Just give listeners a little more about who you are, please.
Well, I'm now retired from Tel Aviv University Medical School, which I founded like 40 years ago. I was also member of Knesset, which is the Israeli parliament. And normally I teach at the university and I go on teaching, although I'm officially retired.
Uh-huh. Well, you've had a long and distinguished career, Dr. Las, and we appreciate your time joining the program. And for listeners out there, Dr. Las has taken his time out of his evening to join us at 10:20 p.m. his time there in Tel Aviv. So thanks for staying up to be with us. As we all are now aware of the pandemic that is causing issues around the globe and all civilizations and societies, the coronavirus, Yoram, is an issue that we are all concerned about. I would like your opinion, if you will. Tell listeners, if you would, Yoram, what is your view on what you know about this virus?
Well, I'm worried, but not terribly worried, because we have been in that movie some time ago, if you remember, the swine flu
Yes.
pandemic. It was 2009. And we had the same situation. We had a new virus which emerged from Mexico, Santa Cruz area. Quickly, that new virus spread all over the world. We had no flu shot against this new virus, exactly like today. And 1 billion people were exposed. About a quarter of a million people died. This is 2009. However, Zuckerberg was only beginning. He was a beginner. Today, we have a somewhat similar situation, like the old swine flu, but we have those social networks. And
Right.
they created monstrous hysteria, which is not justified because the current coronavirus is within an order of magnitude similar to the normal seasonal flu. Remember that in the United States, every year, on the average, 40,000, 40,000 Americans die as a result of the normal, regular, seasonal flu. So I'm worried because it's a dangerous virus, like the influenza virus, which is dangerous, but I'm not terribly worried.
Right. So what you're saying here, Yoram, is if this is accurate, the coronavirus COVID-19, and for listeners to understand, there are multiple strains of coronavirus. I believe H1N1. You can correct me if I'm wrong. That is another type of coronavirus. You're talking about bird flu.
There are four coronaviruses which has already attacked humans in history. So, but this is a new one. It's a new strain, a new virus which we never met before.
Okay, yeah, and there's no at the moment there is this is what there's no vaccine. This is what's interesting to me, Dr. Lass, is just we hosted a Harvard educated MD. He's now 96 years old. He's based in Toronto. Gifford Jones is his name, and he said on this program. 3 weeks ago, and this was his view. Again, as a peer to you, as a medical doctor, it was his view. Again, he's 96 years old. It was his view that any virus could be treated with vitamin C taken intravenously. What are your comments in that regard? In that there's no current vaccine for this strain of coronavirus.
Well, vitamin C over history, since Fleming, the Nobel laureate, the vitamin C has been suggested as the miracle drug against many diseases. I do not know of any real double-blind study, peer-reviewed, published in a respectable journal, which says that vitamin C is good for you if, unfortunately, you have the coronavirus. I don't know. I mean, I have to see a peer-reviewed article in a respectable journal which says that vitamin C is good for you. So my opinion at present is negative.
Uh-huh. Let's go back to, and we'll come back to this, but let's shift angle for a moment and expand on what you talked about, the social networks. Now, you mentioned, was it 2009 swine flu outbreak in Mexico that spread globally, and was it 250,000 people that it affected, and 1 billion people that it touched, and 250,000 that it killed, if I've got those numbers correctly. What you said is different today is that we have these social networking, whereas Facebook was in its infancy back then, so not nearly as well developed as it is today. We have Twitter, which is, again, I think that started in 2007. I may be wrong on that, but some of these social networking sites, are you suggesting that has exacerbated the threat, if you will, of this relatively otherwise common viral outbreak? Is that something that you're conveying here to listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Your definitions are very accurate. You can see what happens with the very well developed social networks. You have a flow of uniform information. Everybody sees the same picture. So Jack comes to Daniel and he says, "Did you see that?" And Daniel says, "Well, of course I've seen that." So everything is being amplified and becomes a fact. And therefore, when you get a focal, disastrous picture, say from Milano, that picture within a second lands on Mr. Trump's desk and becomes his policy. And this has never been before. The spread of information is so fast and so uniform that the power of Zuckerberg as an icon for the social networks, he has the power to topple governments all around the world. I mean, Trump tried for a moment, just for a moment, to say, well, so many people die with a seasonal flu, and we never had the idea of a shutdown of the entire United States. But then Zuckerberg came with that flood, which makes everybody so scared. And Trump moved to the other side of the pendulum. And I don't blame him. It's all over the world. Governments are afraid of the people, the constituency. And the constituency is afraid because of Zuckerberg. And there is a snowball. You see, when the government insert those draconian measures, the people see the measures and they become even more afraid. So the government becomes even more afraid of the people, so they have even more draconian measures. So it is a snowball which we have to face today.
Right. And let me quote you here, Dr. Lass. This is out of an interview that you placed on March 22nd with Globes. And that is of this year. You're quoted as saying the following, so that listeners better understand the message that you're getting across here. Quote, Italy is known for its enormous morbidity and respiratory problems, more than three times any other European country. In the U.S., about 40,000 people die in a regular flu season. In every country, more people die from regular flu compared with those who die from the coronavirus. Whoever thinks that governments and viruses, this is very important, is wrong. Do you have any comments in regards to that quote that you said for the publication Globes?
Well, at present, more people die from the regular seasonal flu. If I give you the global numbers, according to WHO, the World Health Organization, the number of people dying every year from regular seasonal flu, the range is 250,000 up to 600,000 people.
Wow.
And the problem with the flu is that it kills children. Mm-hmm. Flu, the regular flu, kills children. Now, coronavirus is exclusively killing old people. It doesn't touch children. And the numbers, the current global number, is 44,000 people dead from corona. Now, anybody in his right mind know that 500,000 people dying from the regular flu is much more than the 44,000 people dying from corona. The number will grow. That's clear. The number of coronavirus victims will grow. But at present, it is not so terrible.
Right. In comparison to some of these other numbers, what is it sounds like through social media and then perhaps an influence on mass media, for instance, CNN or CBS, ABC, some of these larger media outlets in the United States, anyway, that these numbers are being blown out of proportion. Why is that happening in your view?
Well, numbers are numbers. You cannot argue with numbers.
Right.
And I don't think anybody is blowing the number. Many people are not aware of the number. Mm-hmm. And many people are not aware of the comparative numbers. But I don't think numbers are blown.
Mm-hmm. But there seems to be some type of a fear tactic. Would you agree with that? What I think is what I'm trying to convey is that what's being blown out of proportion is the seriousness and the urgency compared to some of these other numbers that you're citing from the World Health Organization, in that anywhere up to, it sounded like 500,000 people could die from regular flu on an annual basis. Why is it that there's special attention being paid to this coronavirus? There's no vaccine for other flu viruses either.
No. This is wrong.
Okay.
The other flu viruses, they have vaccines, and one of the reasons of why we fear the coronavirus is that at present we have no vaccine and no shot against the coronavirus, but as I mentioned, going back to 2009, where we had the swine flu, well, we didn't have any vaccine against the swine flu at the time. Now we have. But at the time, so it's an equivalent situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The United States it basically is shutting itself down because of the threat that this virus imposes, and so many other countries around the world are doing the same thing. It seems that way. How is Israel defending itself from the coronavirus?
The same. I mean, there is a complete shutdown in Israel, quite an extreme shutdown, and also there is, electronic surveillance, and which I don't like. I mean, I would like having a system which follows people by using a voluntary application. But as you know, we have government bodies, for example, fighting Palestinian terrorists.
Yeah.
And you can imagine that they have the technology you can hardly imagine. And the Israeli government is using the same technology and the same body, which normally fighting terrorists, to survey Israeli citizens, which I don't like. So the measures here are very serious, extremely serious. The economy is ruined. I mean, a quarter of the workforce has registered for unemployment benefits.
My goodness.
You can imagine the restaurants and et cetera. So the situation here is very serious.
Yeah, it's a very similar thing. It seems that the middle class, anyway, in the United States is a year from now. It'll be interesting to see where the economy stands in this country. I would think that, again, going back to that middle class, it's already being attacked and shrinking. It could likely be completely non-existent as a result of this coronavirus shutdown. Bill Gates, who designed a personal computer software I think it was the 80s, is now coming out and talking about the coronavirus. He has mentioned that he would like to vaccinate and insert a tracking microchip. How do you feel about that, Yoram? What are your comments and thoughts on that?
I'm a scientist and I'm pro technology. So everything must be voluntary. And I don't really mind my privacy because I have nothing to hide,
right?
In a way. I know I'm different. This is my personal. I know that in the United States, privacy is a huge issue. I think that if Bill Gates' suggestions make the world more efficient, if you get your medical data on the spot, it's good enough. But your problem is not Bill Gates. Your problem is your medical system, which is awful. It is the most expensive and the less efficient medical system in the Western world.
Well said.
And so many people have no insurance, so the Congress may give you free coronavirus test.
Right.
But then the bills come for the interview, for opening the door, for closing the door, and many people cannot afford it, which is different from Israel, where every Israeli citizen have the full security.
That's wonderful.
In getting good medical and equal medical attention. So there is no difference between the poor and the rich, the old and the young. It's a very different. Israel is very good in social medicine. And I'm not going to interfere with your politics, but this is one, in my view, one of your greatest problems. Also,
yes,
with regard with the current corona situation.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think some of the estimates are a $35,000 medical bill for something.
It's crazy. So the $2 trillion Congress bill will give a person $5,000 allowance, and then it goes straight into the hospital. It's great.
Yeah, but you mentioned something that I think you mentioned an important word here, and that would be voluntary. So if microchipping does help the world become a safer place, then that's great. However, do you think it's important that a voluntary microchipping system be administered rather than a mandatory? Does it make a difference?
Yes. I would recommend only voluntary, so that an old person where the medical information is scattered all over the places, and if you have the chip, you may have a device which will gather everything. So for that guy, a chip may be helpful, but to have the government being able to follow everyone, and this I would not recommend.
Right. Okay. Now let's get into, for a moment, Dr. Lass, let's get into, for listeners out there that are concerned, obviously, about how to treat the coronavirus, what is it, from your understanding, what are some of the best methods, if there even exist? I've recently come across a French study where, I'll give a shot at this pronunciation here, hydroxychloroquine sulfate.
Well, it resulted from some Chinese doctors who claimed that the anti-malaria drug, the chloroquine, is maybe helpful. Well, I read the same literature as you do, and I'm not sure, but this is a claim. Look, if somebody is really sick, treatment is oxygen. Treatment is continuous monitoring of oxygen in your blood to see that the blood is fully saturated with oxygen. So there is a little device which you put on the tip of your finger in hospitals. And of course, in very serious situations, you have to use the ventilator, the mechanical ventilator, which is a very sophisticated device, and you need the people to attend to the device. It may also kill you if it is not working well. So this is the real treatment you can give to people. There is no real drug which has been tested, as I told you before. But as time go by, and the scientific papers will begin to show up, you may convince me that an anti-malaria drug is useful here. I don't see the logic. But we have to wait and see.
There's another drug on top of that one, that's a 500 milligram once a day orally. It's called azithromycin. Are you familiar with that one? If the pronunciation is...
Yeah, well, this is another group. I mean, the anti-malaria.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but this is another group of drugs which makes more sense because they are designed especially against viruses. For example, if you have the common flu, you may get a Tamiflu, which is a drug, a molecule, which interferes with the various molecular biological processes there. So any antiviral drug, which normally is being used against the influenza virus, against the herpes, you know, the herpes, that's another famous virus, herpes. And there are so many. CMV, you have like a zoo of viruses on your body, not only the corona. So there are antiviral molecules. For example, we use antiviral molecules for AIDS patients, and it saves their lives. AIDS now does not necessarily kill you because of the drugs. So those drugs may be helpful against the corona, but again, it must be very thoroughly tested.
What are some of the, for listeners out there that may be in that category of not having health insurance, or simply listeners that want to build up their defenses on a regular day basis, what are some of the things that you would suggest that people do that is within their power? Certainly washing their hands, wearing gloves. It's debatable whether to wear masks. That'll protect them. Being self-isolated, self-quarantined, not gathering groups of 10, being 5 to 6 feet away from another person. Some of these very basics that seem to be administered through the World Health Organization and other organizations. In your opinion, in that regard, what are some of the basics that a listener can do to defend themselves and build up their immunity? And the reason I say that, Dr. Lass, is because, like you mentioned earlier in the program, this is a virus that seems to attack people of a more elderly age. It does seem to be affecting people of all age spectrums, but it is certainly seeming to attack elderly folks. And I'm assuming that's because of their weakened immune system. They're not able to exercise. Perhaps they're not eating as good as they should have been. I don't know. But in your opinion, some on a very kind of a basic level, what are some things that listeners can do to kind of build up their defense in regards to this coronavirus?
Well, I think you have mentioned them all. I can add, do not touch your face with your hand if you can. If you go to some public toilet situation, I mean, you don't these days, but if you're in a cinema, or try not to touch the handle. Push the door with your shoulder. Things like that. And at the institutional level, surely the nursing homes are the soft spots. And by way of description, any nursing home should be surrounded with a barbed wire and with a checkpoint. And nobody without a certificate should get in. This is where the problem is. If you remember the first cases, Kirkland Nursing Home, Kirkland,
right. Yeah.
In Washington State.
Yep.
The nursing home is the soft spot. While if you go to some Marines battalion, don't worry about it. I mean, those folks will have, I mean, nobody will really become sick because they produce their natural immunity, what is known as the IgG, immunoglobulins in the blood, and they are immune for the rest of the following years. Perhaps you soldiers will have some cold symptoms. So you don't have to really protect the army battalion, but the nursing home is where you have to be really careful. Okay?
That sounds great. Finally,
okay.
Dr. Yeah. Less, did you have something else to add?
No, I mean, I think we have mentioned everything, and I really thank you so much.
Yes.
For the opportunity to talk to other audiences. I talk a lot here to Israeli audiences. So have a safe night.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lass. Thank you very much for joining the program.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're very, very fortunate to have Dr. Yoram Lass join the program. Again, he covered mostly all the bases, and certainly being a professional, he was very mild in his suggestion, if you will, or not even suggestion. He was very mild in addressing what I will call fear behind the coronavirus, without directly attacking any one media outlet, or even though he mentioned a number of times Zuckerberg, that would be Mark, the founder, arguably co-founder of Facebook. Is there a purposeful angle of fear pumped into the media outlets? Again, Dr. Lass had said it's naturally occurring because of A person talking about what happened to B person, to C person, and then that viral, if you will, sequence increasing and spreading, again, on social media. So that's kind of more of a natural occurrence of the way information is transmitted and passed globally that wasn't existent during the swine flu era of 2009, that is existent in 2020. Now, what I will suggest is that possibly mass media outlets, the very powerful media organizations, Time Warner, again, which is owned by CNN, isn't it, or one or the other, I think you've got, again, CBS, ABC, Fox News, these MSNBC, NBC. You've got these major American media outlets that have a global reach. Okay, that's just the way it is. You've got BBC, obviously. Those are the ones that are coming to my mind. I'm not familiar with the China outlets. But is this pandemic being used to profitize and make profit? Whereas if you're taking Dr. Lass's comments that this really is no more threatening, if you will, than any other flu strain, and what he didn't do was directly attack any media outlet, as you heard him. He was certainly alluding to the fact that naturally this is what's happening because of social media. What I say and suggest you do is that you do consider and you do dig into the possibility that, yes, media is exacerbating, blowing out of proportion, some of these numbers to profitize and capitalize. And there's no harm in you doing that. Okay? You can sum that up with a simple phrase, which is question authority. All right? Now, there's no doubt that this pandemic is a very real health problem. It is. It's killing people. It's making people incredibly sick. It's a problem. You need to defend yourself. But at the same time, if you have the strength and you have the health, physically and mentally, you need to question, where did this originate? Was it Wuhan or was it Fort Detrick, which is now closed? And I think it's Virginia. Okay. Was this biologically induced from a ruling organization? Yes, it's perhaps sinister to consider that, but you've got to consider all angles. Because you have to look at any violation of your human rights. And even Dr. Lassett alluded to surveillance. And that's a very real thing right now in Israel. And mandatory vaccinations? Would that be a direct violation of your human right? All good questions as far as I'm concerned. And I appreciate you tuning in and listening to this special edition of Discussions of Truth. Again, we've been joined by Dr. Yoram Lass, the former head of the Department of Health in Israel. And I'll be back with another discussion of truth before next hour, before coming your way at the 5 o'clock hour. That is the normal slotted time frame. With Zachary Voorhees, Google whistleblower. You've tuned in to Discussion of Truth. This is Wynwood One Miami Radio. I'll be back momentarily. Until then, thanks for listening.